On this episode, we're going to be digging into some in-depth draft strategy. You know, on the Rookie Big Board, we do not just go surface level when analyzing the rookies. So a little post-draft analysis here. From what I'm finding right off the bat with the first week, week and a half of rookie ADP, we're seeing the top three running backs go in the first round. Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, which is fine. All of those guys have a first-round ranking in the Rookie Big Board. Where I'm seeing the challenge at this point is that Michael Carter, who's 17 right now on the Rookie Big Board, and Trey Sermon, who's 21 right now on the Rookie Big Board, they're going consistently early second round, which I feel like is reaching. We're pushing their value up too high, and we're going to be disappointed, I think, when they don't return high second round and even late first round draft capital. This is a similar thing that we've done the last few years. We've pushed the next tier of running backs up too high, and then we get disappointed when they don't return that value. You know, you look at Keyshawn Vaughn, you look at Daryl Henderson, you look at Devin Singletary, you look at Zach Moss. If we had just taken these guys at a more appropriate point of value, then we wouldn't be so upset about their lack of consistent return at this point for fantasy football purposes. So what I'm suggesting at this point, from what I've seen from early trends, you go after those top three guys aggressively, your Williams, your Etienne, and your Harris. And if you don't get those guys, don't go up and reach for Michael Carter and Trey Sermon. Instead, take advantage of the wide receiver value that's consistently falling to you at the turn of the second round. Guys like Terrace Marshall, guys like Elijah Moore, consistently falling to you at the top of the second round. Soak up those guys instead and save your rookie selections for some late round dart throws. And that's what I'm going to do on this episode. I'm going to give eight different rookie running backs here who were either undrafted free agents or round six or round seven NFL draft selections this year. And I'm going to lay out the argument for each one of them to potentially have fantasy football value down the line. Now, we know historically with hit rates, there's not a high chance of multiple of these guys working out, but there are consistent examples that we can pull from recent memory of guys who were able to carve out a fantasy football relevant role that either went undrafted or were drafted late in the NFL draft. Obviously, James Robinson is the most obvious case of that, and it seems like everybody right now is in the pursuit of this year's James Robinson. Maybe there is a James Robinson this year, maybe there isn't, but I think it's a little bit of an overplayed concept. So I'm not going to specifically sit here and talk about how do we recreate James Robinson, because there's other examples. Remember, Philip Lindsay had a fantastic 2018-2019 year, outproducing Royce Freeman, who had much higher draft capital than him. So he was able to win the job via performance. James Robinson, you know, was able to win the job by you know, being the last man standing and having room created in the depth chart. There's multiple ways to carve that role. Go back to Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler had to be a little bit more patient. You know, he contributed in a secondary support type role, and then all of a sudden Melvin Gordon's contract was up. The Chargers weren't going to renew it, and now Austin Eckler has a high level of fantasy football relevancy. So it was a little bit of a wait and take advantage when the opportunity opened for Austin Eckler. You look at Chris Carson. Chris Carson has been a guy who has survived multiple running backs coming in with a higher draft capital than him and supposedly able to take his job away. You know, Rashad Penny being the most obvious, but you even look a little bit more recently, you know, Travis Homer, DJ Dallas, these were guys that Seattle brought in with higher draft capital than Chris Carson did as a near undrafted free agent. So, you know, there's multiple ways that you could get to the point where you're a late round draft pick. Miles Gaskin, even, you go back this last year, if James Robinson didn't exist, we'd be talking about Miles Gaskin. He was a borderline running back two, high end running back three this past year, and he's going to retain his value past the NFL draft here in 2021. Raheem Mostert, he's a guy that can't go away. You know, he's always popping up with peaks and valleys of fantasy football relevancy. He was an undrafted free agent. So I'm pulling the top eight guys off the rookie big board here, and I'm going to try to explain the different ways that they may potentially bring value at some point down the line for fantasy football purposes. Now, we're digging deep here. We're going to start here at 58th on the rookie big board, and that's Deion Jackson. He's an undrafted free agent out of Duke. He ends up landing with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I like Deion Jackson's tape. I thought he was explosive when he was able to get to the second level of the field and break free. I thought he did fairly well in space, and he was able to run pretty well. I mean, he didn't have burner speed, but for his size, he had pretty good straight line acceleration downfield. You know, Deion Jackson, he's coming in here at about 210 pounds. So he's 5'11", 220 pounds, excuse me. So, you know, he's a big back. And if you're looking at a body frame and body mold of somebody similar to James Robinson, that's probably going to be your immediate comp. It doesn't see everyone saying Jared Doakes, but Deion Jackson has a higher tape grade than me. Obviously, he went undrafted, and it's not an ideal backfield to be playing in here for Deion Jackson. But the role that I could see him taking on is if Marlon Mack is gone from the team next year in 2022. Remember, he came back on the one-year deal. It seems like he's probably not going to be a long-term play for them. He struggled to stay healthy. And so, you know, Deion Jackson could take on that Marlon Mack role. All of a sudden, you know, you're the change of pace running back. If something happens to Jonathan Taylor, you've found your way to fantasy football relevancy, and he has the tape grade to match up. So although he doesn't have the draft capital, Deion Jackson, he's 58th right now on the rookie big board, so not super high. Your fifth round pick in your standard 12-team, five-round rookie league, or, you know, potentially a fourth round pick if you're playing in a 16-team league with four rounds. So a later dart throw for sure, undrafted free agent. He's still going to make the team at a camp, but I definitely am at least optimistic about Deion Jackson out of Duke, now lands with the Colts as an undrafted free agent. Next guy up here on the list is going to be Jarrett Patterson. Now, if you've been listening to the Rookie Big Board, this is your 22nd episode listening. First off, thank you so much for the support. Second off, you're going to know that Jarrett Patterson is one of my guys, all right? I was very high on Jarrett Patterson. We're talking back-to-back rushing leader in the MAC in 2019-2020. He had one game this past season against Kent State. He ended up rushing for 6 touchdowns in one game. It was absolutely stupid. It was so incredible. Now, you always want to look, okay, that's all great, Matt, but why did he go undrafted? There's a variety of reasons that a player can go undrafted despite being talented. And Jarrett Patterson, I think he's got two things working against him. One, he's a little bit one-dimensional, or at least I should say the way he was used at Buffalo was a little bit one-dimensional. He ran in between the tackles. I thought he was a fine pass catcher when he was asked to. Buffalo simply didn't ask him to catch the ball. So you dig a little bit deeper. You say, why? If you look at him, they asked him to rush the ball 20 to 30 times a game. He was their offense. If Jarrett Patterson is your offense and they're asking you to run the ball 20 to 30 times a game, when you finally do throw the ball, you're probably going to throw it to somebody else because you got to give this man a break. You got to rotate him off the field. You got to give him a chance to catch his breath so that when he's running for 6 touchdowns in a game, he's not absolutely gassed by quarter three, right? So that's the first thing I think was working against Jarrett Patterson. At least what Buffalo showed him doing, it was a limited capacity. The other thing, and here's the real reality of the situation, Jarrett Patterson is coming in at 5'6", 195. He's undersized. He's 5'6". That is small for a running back, especially one that does rely on power in his game. He has really good vision in between the tackles. He's aggressive. He takes guys on. And that wasn't a problem at the MAC, but it's going to be a physical adjustment to the next level of the NFL. Do I think Jarrett Patterson can make that adjustment? Yes. Do we have to make a more calculated risk of that because he went undrafted? Yes, absolutely. He's 55th right now on the rookie big board. So in a very similar lens that I was just talking to Deion Jackson, it's a late round selection, right? But what I do like about Jarrett Patterson, I think he's got I think he's going to make the team out of camp. I'll start there. I think he's going to make this roster. You could see Washington easily move on from JD McKissick here after this next season. And then, you know, Jarrett Patterson could earn his way into volume on this team. So Jarrett Patterson, he's primarily on this list because of talent. You're going to see, you know, for all of these 8 guys, they're either going to have a clear path to volume or a clear, you know, high evaluation in my pre-draft tape score, you know, liking something about their talent to help keep them relevant here as we move on. And speaking of moving on, we're going to jump next to 52nd on the rookie big board, and that's Larry Rountree III out of Mizzou. I like Larry Rountree. He's a power back. He ends up going round 6, pick 198 to the Los Angeles Chargers. So this is the first guy we're we're talking about that a draft selection was actually used on him, and I just gave multiple examples of guys that were selected that ended up having fantasy football relevancy. You look at what Los Angeles has done the last couple seasons. Justin Jackson, I believe, was a UDFA. If not, he was a round 7 pick. And then Joshua Kelly, they used a mid-draft pick. I believe he was a round 3 selection, round 4 selection this past season, and we had high hopes for Joshua Kelly. Well, honestly, I think Larry Rountree fits that Joshua Kelly power back in between the tackles, but he's better at it. I think he's got better contact balance. I think he's got better strength. I think he's got more consistent vision. Larry Rountree was a 4-year starter in the SEC against Mizzou. So he spent the last 4 years smashing and bashing against the best defenses in the country, the most physical, the most demanding, and he has been productive and he's been successful. So Larry Rountree, I just talked about how Austin Ekeler got his job because they moved on from Melvin Gordon and didn't pay him the big cash. Well, I like Austin Ekeler. I think he's probably got 2 more good years of production, but then I could easily see Larry Rountree at that point in time earning his role and earning volume there and taking over this backfield. And even if he doesn't do that, they use change of pace backs. They use multiple backs. So Larry Rountree could have points of fantasy football significance right away. I really think this fall, Larry Rountree could be the second best running back on that roster behind Austin Ekeler and ahead of Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson, if Justin Jackson is even on the squad. Coming in 49th here at the rookie big board, this is interesting. And one of the reasons I really like the RBBR, which is the rookie big board rating, which, again, if you're confused by any of these terms, it's available to all my patrons, $3 a month, patreon.com/theffeducator. And I'm just going through my board here and reading right off of it. But on top of that $3 a month, you also get the top 200 dynasty rankings and my top 258, I think, Devy rankings. I just added about 58, 59 more guys this weekend for Devy rankings, all of that $3 a month, patreon.com/theffeducator. Now, back here to the breakdown of Jamar Jefferson, you know, I mentioned I like having the rookie big board rating because it helps me stay objective. Jamar Jefferson is somebody who I originally gave a nice tape score to. It wasn't fantastic. He didn't have good pro day numbers, so that explains his undrafted capital here. So I kind of have to stick with Jamar Jefferson a little bit because I gave him a good tape evaluation. Now, you don't get the most tape, and that always lowers my confidence in a player. You don't get the most tape out of Oregon State, but you know, we were able to get 3-4 games on Jamar Jefferson. Now, take into account where he landed here with Detroit. Is it great? No, because we have DeAndre Swift, and we love DeAndre Swift, right? But you know, injuries happen, injuries occur, and players have to be there to take advantage of that. So where I had Kerryon Johnson pegged in this Detroit projections here, and again, projections for all fantasy football players are also available, patreon.com/theffeducator. Didn't mean to turn this into an ad, but just throwing that out there. Now, with Jamar Jefferson specifically, you know, I had Kerryon Johnson pegged about 30, 35 carries. It was not significant. I figured they were going to move on for him. So I immediately plug in Jamar Jefferson for those carries. And then, you know, can he earn more carries on top of that here through the preseason? Can he impress? Can he get himself to 50, 80 touches? Because at least at that point, if he gets 50 to 80 touches in his first season, then at least I know Detroit has some interest in developing him long term. And if they do that, then he could be the guy waiting in the wings if DeAndre Swift ever has to miss time. And sometimes in fantasy football, for guys that we're putting on our taxi squad, remember, Jamar Jefferson coming at 49th right now on the rookie big board. So we're using a late fourth round pick on him. If you were a Jamar Jefferson truther, you want to take him early fourth, you know, you go for it. Go ahead and take your guy. But this is a guy, no matter where you take him, he's probably on your taxi squad for the first year, maybe 2 years if your taxi squad allows that. So, you know, to have a guy who's next man up if the lead back gets injured, that's enough for me for somebody who's a nice addition to the taxi squad. So we're going to go ahead and move on here to Khalil Herbert. This is a really interesting landing spot. And this is one I swear I come up with a new interpretation of it every time I think about it. Originally, you hear this, yeah, Khalil Herbert, I believe he was a 6th round pick there for the Chicago Bears. So he definitely comes with some draft capital to him. He was round 6, pick 217. You know, originally here you say, David Montgomery, you know, that's going to be better than Khalil Herbert. And yeah, right off the bat, you're right. But David Montgomery, you know, he's been fine. He hasn't been efficient. He's just been a jag. And I don't necessarily, you know, hold that too far against David Montgomery. It's not a creative offense. But, you know, if you project out to next season, you know, David Montgomery, he was a high draft selection of the Nagy Pace regime. If they do get replaced after this next season, there may not be as much affinity with the new coaching staff and front office coming in to keep David Montgomery around. And remember, they're going to have to pay David Montgomery a second contract running back salary, which is not something NFL teams like to do. And Tariq Cohen is aging out, and he kind of plays in a different role anyway. So, and I know they signed Williams in the offseason. He's not really a factor for me. So I could see Khalil Herbert as a guy who's either on the Bears practice squad this year, or potentially a guy who's just hanging around the roster. Maybe he doesn't dress every week. He dresses, you know, ends up dressing 6-7 weeks for his rookie season. But then, you know, down the road ends up having a much higher impact as the depth chart kind of clears out and as a new coaching staff comes in. You know, you look at his college tape. I thought Khalil Herbert was a really well-rounded back. He runs really nicely in between the tackles. I think he has nice agility to him. He's not a super fluid athlete, but he sees the field very well. He's great in pass pro, which I think is one of the reasons why I think, you know, he could stay up on the Bears squad instead of being a practice squad guy. So there's a lot to like about Khalil Herbert. I think he's really well rounded, and he's definitely somebody that I'm willing to take a shot on, you know, even as early as the late third round. If you feel passionate about Khalil Herbert, I think that's totally fine. He's 42nd right now on the rookie big board, which puts him as, you know, an early to mid fourth round selection. He's not somebody that I would let go undrafted in my standard 48 selection rookie draft. Absolutely not. Or I would make him a priority as soon as your fab opens there over the summer. Jumping on here to Kylin Hill. Man, this was a really, really tough one for me. I had a nice evaluation on Kylin Hill coming in. I desperately wanted him to land in a situation where I could see him eventually taking over as the three down back. You know, Tennessee Titans was the example that I was giving pre-draft. You know, if he landed in Tennessee, he could have potentially taken over the Derrick Henry role, you know, after they stopped wanting to pay him, which is, you know, just a common theme that we see with running backs overall. You hear me keep coming back to that, but that's just the facts of the NFL landscape. I don't like it any more than you do. I think these guys should get paid. They put their bodies on the line and they have short careers, but that's not the way the NFL works. Coming back to Kylin Hill, I think he's a three down back. You know, he was super productive in 2019 for Mississippi State. He was the offense. If he was off the field, that offense was not running well. He's great in the A gap. He's really good in the B gap, and he runs really well off target. And we saw or off tackle, I should say. And we saw this past year in 2020, the first three games that he played with Mike Leach, you know, he was able to catch the ball really well. I think we saw overall the NFL, unless you were an elite athlete or elite draft prospect, we saw guys who opted out partially or fully really take a hit this past season. I think that reflects here with Kylin Hill, and I also think it reflects for Green Bay here that despite the fact that they have Aaron Jones and despite the fact that they have A.J. Dillon, they still used a draft pick, so a seventh-round draft pick. They used a draft pick on Kylin Hill because I don't think that they thought, you know, they could pass up on that talent. I thought Kylin Hill was more of a late day two, early day three type talent. Now, it's a long road to relevancy. Aaron Jones just got paid. A.J. Dillon is just a sophomore running back. So there's a lot that needs to happen with Kylin Hill. So we really have to bank on the talent and be okay with putting him on the taxi squad and be okay with the idea that he may never get really the opportunity to show off his skill set. But if Kylin Hill hits the field, I am confident. I am confident that if Kylin Hill hits the field, he's going to impress, at least from an NFL perspective, and hopefully that carries over from a fantasy football perspective. I went back and I matched up my tape grade of Kylin Hill to A.J. Dillon, and I actually had a higher tape grade for Kylin Hill. Now, I'm not saying that that means Kylin Hill is going to go and replace A.J. Dillon here on the depth chart, but all I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen. All right, we're going to jump here to the second to last guy, on the list here. That's my guy, Javion Hawkins. You know, he's 40th on the rookie big board, so we're an early fourth round conversation here. We're slowly creeping up to guys who, you know, could be acceptable third round selections. I think, you know, in one draft so far, I got Javion Hawkins at 409, I believe. That was probably the best value I've gotten on him. I've scooped him up a couple times in the fourth round. I actually got outbid on him in an auction rookie league, and, you know, I was like, the audacity. Somebody knows me, man. They outbid me for Javion Hawkins. It was a difficult pill to swallow because I like Javion Hawkins. I gave him a high tape score. You remember early on, he was a top five running back for me in grades. I thought he was a really good tape eval. He's very explosive off the line of scrimmage. Thought he created space on his own really well in a Louisville offense that was not helping him out. His great change of direction ability, fantastic straight line acceleration. For whatever reason, Javion Hawkins falls and he goes undrafted, which is a real challenge for me. But the offset of that is that he gets picked up with the Falcons throughout the entire draft. Day one, day two, day three. We're waiting for the Falcons to take a running back. You look at that room, it's Mike Davis, Quadre Olison, and Ito Smith. None of these guys, you know, are really significant difference makers there on an offense that we're expecting to make a legitimate deep playoff run, or at least that's the mindset that they're telling us they're in when they pass on drafting a quarterback at number four, right? They're telling us they're a contender. And then they don't address the running back position throughout. Now, they have a lot of holes to fill on that offense, so I understand what they did, but it was still frustrating for fantasy players. Well, we get to the UDFA portion of things and we hear Javian Hawkins is going to Atlanta, and it is the saving grace. It's the shred of hope that I can hold on to here as a Javian Hawkins truther to say, I see some legit potential volume and early for Javian Hawkins. Now he's got to go to camp. He's got to earn it. He's got to show out in the preseason. But, you know, I see a situation where Javian Hawkins legitimately could get, you know, 25 to 30% of the touches, at least on the ground here in his first season with Atlanta. And then if something happens to Mike Davis, maybe he just doesn't turn out to be that useful for them. Maybe he gets injured. All of a sudden, Javian Hawkins, to me, if you match up skill set and you match up potential, you know, role, Javian Hawkins to me is the guy that it's worth betting on. If you took one name from this, and I'm going to talk about one guy after this, he's actually a little bit higher on the rookie big board, but if you're going to take one name from this of guys that I would take in the fourth round, what would I do? What am I telling you? It's Javian Hawkins. I could be totally wrong. Clearly, I was, you know, higher on him than the NFL was when evaluating him. Maybe I didn't care as much about his size. You know, he ended up coming in the 180s. You know, he was at Louisville at 195, so he ends up coming in a little bit lighter. He's a little undersized. He's 5'8", but we've seen these running backs consistently be able to produce. I talked about how Jarrett Patterson coming in at 5'6", ended up being a detriment for him. You know, Javian Hawkins, he's a little bit bigger than that, but maybe that is a detriment. Maybe that's a reason that his tape score didn't matter as much to the NFL, because they want to see those size and they want to match that up to talent. And maybe that's what the Falcons did here, just taking advantage of him as a UDFA. And I'm taking advantage of him as somebody who's consistently available in the fourth round. I'm happy to take him. I'm happy to be the one in the league to take him. Last guy that we're going to talk about here on the list, it's Demetric Felton. He lands with the Cleveland Browns. Not the best. It's kind of a messy situation to land in. You have Nick Chubb there, who, you know, is, I think, you know, for me, Nick Chubb is a top three, if not the best pure runner in the NFL. So, you know, Demetric Felton's not taking those touches away. Now, Kareem Hunt, he's a little touch and go. He's been a little bit unstable in terms of being a fantasy football, you know, relevant player. So, you know, maybe Demetric Felton comes in and gets some of those Kareem Hunt touches. There's also conversations, despite the fact that Demetric Felton is designated as a running back. Now, remember, we really wanted him designated as a running back when we were talking about him in the pre-draft context, because, you know, he went to the Senior Bowl, he did wide receiver drills, he played wide receiver at UCLA as well as playing running back. You know, he was designated as a running back at the Senior Bowl, so we were hoping, because a running back that can catch the ball is better than a wide receiver that can run the ball. So we get this guy with the running back designation, and here's why he's 39th right now on the rookie big board. Here's why he's the top-rated guy that I'm going to talk about here on today's episode. I think he's the best pure talent. He's super athletic. He's agile. He's fluid. I think he runs really well in between the tackles. He's a short-handed pass catcher, whether he's out there lining up as a wide receiver. You know, you look at his ability to perform at the Senior Bowl. He was winning one-on-one isolation drills there against defensive backs. He was breaking them. So you look at Demetric Felton's pure talent, pure ability. It's fantastic. Landing spot, it's a challenge. It's not a great landing spot in general for fantasy football, but, you know, at some point, you got to bank on the talent. You got to bank on the player that you're evaluating and hope that he can overcome that landing spot. That's what I'm doing with Demetric Felton here. Hopefully from this episode, you got 8 guys that you could potentially take late round dart throws on, depending on if you're playing in bigger leagues, more shallow dynasty leagues. All of these guys at least have some potential for fantasy football relevancy. These are third, fourth round picks. Maybe none of these guys work out, but I'd be willing to bet that if we're looking back here on this episode, listening back at least in a year, probably one of these guys is relevant. We listen back in 3 years to this episode. Hopefully 2-3 of these guys are relevant. Some of these games we might go back and scratch our heads and say, Deion Jackson, I think I remember. He was from Duke. I hope we don't. I hope they all hit. I hope they all end up being worthwhile fourth round taxi squad spot picks. And I hope this episode helped you understand not only who your late round dart throws are, but how you should be evaluating the running back position in general at this point in time. Remember, this whole conversation was based on the idea that I would rather take wide receivers in the early to mid second round instead of pushing Michael Carter and Trey Sermon too far up the board. If you miss out on the big three, don't catch yourself reaching and setting yourself up, you know, for disappointment here with the next tier of running backs. They can both be very good, but I think we're overvaluing them. So instead, you're going to pivot and you're going to take one of these eight guys. As always, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rookie Big Board. If you're watching, please make sure to like and subscribe. If you're listening, please, 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 five-star review. And if you want to get more from the rankings, top 168 rookies, top 200 dynasty, top 250 plus Devy, Cornerstone rankings, all of that's available, just $3 a month, patreon.com/theffeducation.